everybody, welcome you all to Drive to HR, the number one internet daily radio show for the HR professionals. And Brian, William, and Nisha coming to you live every day talking about human resources with our wonderful guest. And last week I was quite busy and I couldn't get to talk to Brian in detail. And today, Brian and I are doing the show together. So, Brian, how are you doing today?
I am doing incredibly well. A little bit stressed out, but that's my own doing. So I need to get that squared away, right?
Yeah, totally.
So, and yourself, how are you?
Yes, I'm doing great. I just had a break from all the social media noises, or what would I say? I just took 1 week of enough time with my family, in-laws, and relatives. So they came from India and had a great time. So I just took a break of 1 week. That's why I couldn't get to do more shows at Drive to HR. And I really missed talking to you and to our guests. I must say that.
Well, that's, you know, it's funny because I think, obviously, that's a fairly big trip to come from India to, you know, the Dallas, Texas area. So they probably really appreciated all the extra time you were able to spend with them. So I think that's fantastic.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Yeah, as you said, that's correct. And I was hoping that I can talk to our guest today, Doris Sims. She is a She's an international consultant and speaker and trainer of an author of a topic of talent review process and succession planning. So succession planning is one of the topics that I'm pretty much interested to, you know, talking. And I was hoping our guest will be here soon, and for some reason she's not able to call into the show. But if she's available to talk to, please call into the number 347-996-5600. So we'll be able to talk to you there. But Brian, what are your takes on, you know, the new trends in succession planning per se?
You know, what's interesting is For obvious reasons, I haven't been as focused on it, and I haven't really seen a whole lot of innovation or anything probably too landmark to have too many thoughts on. I think that's probably the overarching thought is it just hasn't changed much. I think succession planning is a game of adoption. There's a lot of there's a lot of really good frameworks out there, and there's a lot of really good technology that, it's funny, that's probably one of the modules or the life cycle part of technology, HR tech anyway, that just doesn't get used. It is absolutely, I mean, you've got some hypo programs that do a little bit better and get adoption. You've got some mentoring programs that maybe get used in some adoption, even collaboration. But succession planning and actually all the way to identifying kind of your bench strength and really looking at what the internal talent is and then trying to move them and progress them through kind of a succession framework or a talent framework, people don't use that. It's more strategic than people allocate time to. And I think that's probably the biggest – I don't think there's a lot of innovation with that because, personally, I don't think there really needs to be that much. I think it's an adoption play in my mind.
Yes, I totally agree with you. And as you can see, this succession planning as an idea or succession management as an idea has been evolved throughout the years. But previously, it was just an appraisal program or doing a performance management system and then promoting the employee. But then after that, throughout the years, the companies have been evolved into a stage where succession management programs have to be holistically done by collaborating. And I agree to your point, by collaborating with all the leaders and experts. and involving every employee in the organization. This has been a great arena where organizations can demonstrate that their organization is a growth-oriented organization, and they promise a career development within the organization so that they can retain their talented employees as well.
Yeah, it's. I think again, it's one of those that you've got some more progressive organizations that kind of from the very start have in mind culturally that as they mm-hmm. recruit people, they ultimately want to just get really good people, and from that point, they'll just figure out where those people migrate to. The intersection of where people end up wanting to go, where kind of their talent lies, and where the organization needs them, right? It's kind of a three-point intersection. And at the end of the day, if you get really good people, and I had a meeting with a conversation and a meeting with somebody last night that we actually talked about this. If you just get really good people that are really smart and committed to whatever they're doing and work really hard at it, you can pretty much do anything. And so that's why succession planning is so interesting and why it's interestingly elusive, because I think obviously a talent acquisition problem is systemically and 100% affected by your ability to succession plan and move people through the organization. And by succession plan, kind of to give some definition, I literally think of that as more of kind of a talent management plan or kind of your human capital plan, like looking at the overall organization and succession planning through as somebody moves from one role to another role. It's not just a leadership or a management. It's literally if you move from cashier to backline, where potentially you're learning how to assemble the sandwiches and prep and do things like that. Maybe that's the next step in the succession to move through the organization as far as you can go. So management succession, workforce succession, leadership succession. I guess there's some different lanes that people kind of put labels on, but at the end of the day, I think what's cool is companies who, from their talent acquisition point, are thinking, how can this person plug into all the places in our company? That's where I think that holistic kind of step back is completely missing, unfortunately, in the corporate landscape from a recruiting standpoint.
Yeah, I agree with that, and especially as you said, utilizing the talent within the organization, that is the key of succession management system. And as you said, the talent acquisition challenges or the difficulties in finding a new talent or a fresh talent and inculcating him to the culture of the organization, it's gonna take time. It's gonna take a little while. As you can see, if you have employees within your organization who are ready to take the next step forward, bring him in front and give him an option or give him a career development opportunity within the organization, he will stick together for a longer period of time, and then he will contribute more and more results to you. And I've noticed this, that, you know, this system will become a proactive vehicle for the managers and executives to reflect on the progresses of their talent and the opportunities that they require for genuine development. And the senior executives and they should view this effective succession management as a critical strategic tool for attracting and retaining their talent too.
Yeah, the kind of flip that around. So, how do you? Let's talk about some of those major themes that are out there. How do you think big data? That's just, that's the classic term. How do you think big data and metrics will affect succession planning going forward?
Well, that is really an interesting subject, because as you can see, when people normally talk about the measurement of succession planning or succession planning programs within their organization, they can utilize effectively this big data and then metrics in terms of coming up with an effective goal for their succession management system and list out the strategies on how to do this or how to take this forward. But as you can see, you know, if you can support the gaps in talent and identifying important linchpin positions that you need to fill in your organization, and if you have the people within the organization that who are ready to take this position forward or qualify for this position, and if you can look at that particular metrics or particular point, then you will be able to find out how many people in your organization who are ready to take the next step forward, so that you can utilize them or so that you can give them a better opportunity to enhance the organization's growth. So that's what my little take.
Well, it's I think it's an interesting take, because tying, you know, big data, ultimately you're trying to tie together and draw conclusions, right? I mean, that's at the end of the day, big data just affords you opportunity to start manipulating the data and extracting and drawing conclusions off of what you ultimately see, and, you know, formulating that. And so, do you think it's at all realistic for big companies to take the jump from really limited succession planning, going all the way to a lot of data and just working backwards into a robust succession plan? Or Would you wade into it, or would you just rip the Band-Aid off and kind of roll them into something that's going to fix everything?
Well, Brian, I would say that, this is an interesting subject that I need to read a lot about and increase my knowledge. But my take would be, you know, there will be a lot, as you can see, big data, there are a lot of data. But then from that, what is your valuable data that makes sense for you? Utilize that and look for that, and then work from there. So the most frequently used measurement or used data for this particular aspect or the effectiveness of their organization, effectiveness of an organization's ability to fill the key jobs with the internal candidate, or rather than, you know, doing an outside hire or bringing a gender diversity in promotion or something like that. So a qualitative assessment tend to be based on the issues such as the participant's transition experience into their new role or the quality of their preparation beforehand. Or before a new vacancy or a new position is becoming vacant in your organization, you need to identify who are the people within the organization that you can develop or train or mentor and bring them to that particular role, so that this will be a successful program.
Completely agree with that. And that's a very, very big subject to jump in on. So I want to change it up on you a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So what's one of the things in the last 6 months that you personally, because you've had some changes with coming on board with Drive-Thru HR, obviously, and more traveling at conferences, and just, you know, you've just upped your game big time on on just the content creation and everything. What's one or two of the lessons that you have really learned in the last 6 months, personally or, you know, or professionally, around what you're doing, maybe what you like? I mean, what's one or two things that just really stand out that have kind of came to the surface?
Well, that's an interesting question, Brian. Because as you can see, you are one of the persons that know me very closely, and you have seen all the changes that have happened in my life throughout the last 6 months. And as soon as I joined Drive Through HR, my personality, or what would I say, my reach of social media has increased. And other than that, me as a person, I'm learning a lot through all this interaction, because every day I get a chance to talk to an HR professional or an HR practitioner and learn from them, which is tremendous and which is enormous. And the opportunity that I got from Drive Through HR to go to various conferences and represent Drive Through HR there and cover the conference through social media and interact with the like-minded HR professionals over there, which is all awesome. And what would I say? Throughout my experience, I've been learning a lot, honing my skills, and developing new knowledge and skill sets. But at the same time, I learned a very important lesson: prioritizing. Prioritize your time, because time is so valuable. Because if you are going to do a lot of things at the same point of time, you may not be able to, you know, succeed. You might miss one or the other. But at the same time, if you can schedule it, or if you can prioritize your job, you'll be able to find a fruitful result out of it. Because I've been doing a lot of Drive Through HR content work at this throughout this time, and I've been writing a lot to our various platforms, to my own blog and through different blogs as well. And I'm talking to HR professionals. I'm going to conferences, which is entirely a different career than you do a daily job in your organization or in your cubicle world. So this involves a lot of transparency, a lot of travel, a lot of communication, and a lot of personal skills as well, that I'm so honored for this opportunity. And every day I'm so, every day I'm so lucky to deal with or to work with such an amazing professionals like you. Like, you are the mentors for me throughout my experiences. So I'm really honored and excited, Brian, and I can't wait to see what my contributions would enhance the Drive Through HR and the HR social media space.
Well, you've already—it's been really interesting to see, you know, kind of see how much capacity you have, because it's been a busy 6 months, and it's been interesting kind of to learn from you kind of on your content strategy, because everybody typically has a little bit different take on it, and I think it's been I definitely have paid attention and tried to learn kind of how you know what content you're pushing and when you're doing it and why you're doing it. And I think that's probably the biggest thing for workforce practitioners is to just make sure you look around. There's probably people that are probably closer to you than you think that are more than willing to kind of share their knowledge about how they approach it, whether it's a recruiting strategy, whether it's they're going through some kind of HR technology audit or a compliance audit or comp and benefits, whatever the case may be. Make sure you just look around, and if there's just nobody, then there's probably an opportunity, obviously, to network in your local HR community and or regional and or national HR community, and get some of those relationships where you can bounce things off people, and that's a lot. You know, ultimately, takes a little. You know, that takes work, and it takes commitment to wading through some of the not great potential conversations and relationships and everything. But man, when you find those, it's golden. It's just hard to really kind of come up with anything else than a trusted friendship or relationship with somebody, you know, personally and professionally, that you can ping them with, what do you think about this, or what should I do, or, you know, am I missing anything? I mean, those are what make you start to be whole. Not that you need them. I mean, you can stand alone in your own little silo, but at the end of the day, I think it's a lot more fulfilling, and you grow if you're able to bounce things and get perspective off people. So, my soapbox
today. Totally, Brian. I totally agree with that. That is so close to my heart, because as you can know, before I get onto social media, I was so involved with the networking opportunities in and around Dallas, in expanding my network and talking to the real trained HR professionals so that I can make sure that I am learning a lot from them. Because if you can read blogs or if you can read an article, it's sort of kind of a similar, I don't know, at this moment I feel so, sort of a similar opinion circulating one by one. But if you can talk to the real HR practitioners who are working day and night, I mean, every day in an organization, their views and their experiences are entirely different. And especially, that's one of the unique thing about our Drive to HR show, because we have our HR practitioners who are coming, who are may not be a blogger, may not be a writer. Sometimes, yeah, we do have writers and HR social media experts and others, but sometimes we have the HR practitioners who are coming up and they are sharing their unique lessons, which you don't get to read anywhere else. So as you said, I really embrace that networking opportunity and learning things from their experiences. And I remember last two weeks ago, I met Chris Ponder, who was in Dallas, and I didn't know he was in Dallas. And I scheduled an appointment with him, and I talked to him. So it was really nice to hear that one-on-one conversation that he's a regional HR. So I also worked as a regional HR back in India, and we sort of had a discussion in terms of what are the challenges that our regional HR professionals that normally face. So which was very rare to get to read it from any other blogs or any other writings or articles. So I totally embrace that.
For sure. So what are you going to do for the rest of the year? What's some of your goals, if you want to share?
Wow, that's so cool. And for the past 2 months, I'm little inconsistent at my blog, because I had some other commitments that I wanted to do and to settle. So from next month onwards, I would be posting blogs consistently at my blog. And we are trying to do a lot of great things to work with Drive to HR. So that is also in my head. And other than that, I've come up with a new initiative that I wanted to do. I wanted to contribute for the Indian HR community that's named as India HR Live. So I wanted to explore Google Hangout. So for some or the other reason, I felt like Indian HR community is less served in terms of reaching the social media platform or reaching the global arena. So I thought, okay, why don't I create my a community named India HR Live, where people can speak live and share their experiences. So I can help them reach a global platform. And probably once it's established, I can bring more audiences and more guests from across the globe and bring it a great social learning platform as well. So that is something on my list, which I'm very passionate about doing it. And we are launching our first show on July 31st at 8 p.m. Indian Standard Time, Wednesday. So for us, it would be 9:30 a.m. morning, Central Time. So that is one thing. And other than that, next year, I'm really looking forward for, you know, my work career. So a lot of immigration laws, rules, and regulations are going on in one end, and I'm also looking forward to know how that is going to evolve. But as you can see, I'm not going to wait for anything that's going to hinder my way. I'm going to do what I'm good at doing it, and I'm continue doing that. And, yeah, so that's all are my plans.
Well, those are all pretty damn good plans. I'm excited for, you know, your new Google Hangout show, because I want to learn more about kind of that platform. So it'll be fascinating to see kind of how the conversations evolve and how everything goes with that. And of course, Drive2HR will support your new effort, because that's the way that we roll. So it'll be fun. It'll be fine. I can't, like I said, I'm excited to learn about that, because I see a lot of potential with Hangout and everything. I just haven't done enough. I haven't immersed in it, so I'm not that comfortable with it yet. So, but you're going to help get me there. So that would be definitely appreciated. Any final thoughts? We're just about out of time. It's been a great conversation, by the way.
Yeah, Brian, let's share about HR Tech Conference that's going to come up. And our promo code for the HR Tech Conference would be DTHR, all in caps, so that you can get a $500 off for your price. So that is one thing that I want to give a big shout-out to HR Tech Conference.
Perfect. Thank you. Yeah, thank you for reminding me. We had Bill on, the current and outgoing chair for that, Bill Kudyk, and at some point we'll have them back on. And, of course, friends with Steve Bowes, the HR Happy Hour, who is the incoming, will be taking that over after this October. So good stuff. Well, Nisha, have a great rest of the day, and folks, make the world a better place. We're out of here.